I've taken my key text today from 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and reading from verse 12 and 13 and also 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 1 to 3. Okay, you with me? Who's reading for us? 2 Chronicles chapter 5 verses 12 to 13. Okay.
And the Levites who were the singers, all those Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, they were the sons of their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having climbals, stringed instruments, and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets.
Okay, continue.
Indeed, it came to pass, when the trumpeters and singers were as one.
Everybody say, as one. Continue.
One sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and climbals and instruments of music.
Okay, how many of them were there? 120 priests, okay? And they were as one in praise and thanksgiving. All right, okay, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1 to 3. Okay, who's reading for us? You want to continue?
When Solomon had finished praying, fire came up from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house.
Okay, great. And if you go back to the other scripture, chapter 5, and the last part of it, and it says, for he is good, for his steadfastness or faithfulness, love endures forever. And the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, all right? That the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. And the cloud basically represents the glory of God. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Now I'm going to take you back into time, and I'm going again through my Bible thumping and going through history itself. If you look at the power of oneness, you know that God or Jesus Christ always wants the church, that's you and I, to be one with him. And not only that, we find that the world is constantly looking at ways and means how to come into oneness, so that the person that actually is right at the top in terms of the president or the prime minister, whoever is in control, will be able to know how to manipulate and control the people under his control. Now, if we go back into time and we look at Genesis chapter 11, we look at in the city of Iraq or the nation Iraq, we find that Nimrod was the most powerful man on planet Earth. Like we have the most powerful man now in terms of politics is Trump and various others that rule certain countries. But at that time, Iraq was a prominent nation. And Nimrod, simply who was so powerful in that region, he began to, you know, find ways and means how to bring the nation closer to each other and bring them together. So he looked at one aspect. He says, we are one people, one nation, we are in one place, and we are in one accord. Okay, so let us build a tower that will ascend into the heavens and be able to know what is in the heavenly realms. But you know what? Sometimes God has already put things into place. Whatever was in his blueprint, he has already established long before the foundations of the earth. Okay, and it is just unfolding. And as you know, whatever his word has been spoken, it will basically accomplish that which it had been sent forth to do. Now, the building of the Tower of Babel was not something that God had ordained at that particular time. Now, we are talking about language. At that time, language was one. Okay, everybody spoke one language and everybody understood each other. People were living together, they were in oneness and so forth. So Nimrod, because that land in terms of the economy was very strong, they had bitumen, they had everything in terms of materials to be able to build that particular tower. So they got together and they started building. Okay, and as they started to build, you know, God, if something is not right, and if he wants to move you, or if he wants to position you, or if he wants to do something to your life, and I even told God myself, whenever I pray, like the other day I was speaking with Joyce asked, how often do you pray? I said, Josh, I'm all the time in prayer because the Holy Spirit resides inside of me. Even if I'm sitting in the car, I constantly give a quick prayer to God. God, am I doing the right thing? Am I going in the right direction? Am I communicating with the person next to me in the right way? Why? Because he is big brother. He is the high priest. He is God the Father that is constantly looking over us. So whenever we have a chance, we constantly communicate with him. So right from the beginning of time, God the Father has been overlooking the earth. He has been looking at the progress of mankind. So when we look at the Tower of Babel, God looked down on man, and when he looked at man, he saw that these men were not authorized to do what they were doing. And he said, if they continue in this light mind, they will be opened up to various things which at that moment God did not want them to see anything else. And he says, if they continue in this way, in this like manner, we will not be able to stop them in terms of where would they want to go in this lifetime on earth itself. So what did God do? He said, let us go down and confound the languages of man. You know what Babel means? Babel means confusion, right? So God in his all of his power came down on earth and confused the nation that was under the control of Nimrod. Why? I'm setting you up for something where we come down all the way to the book of Acts. Because you know we find that language is something that is so powerful. Communication is what we, if we communicate clear, we can get instructions and we can get things across to other people. Not only do we communicate through the language in terms of speech, but also through our body language, through our facial inflections, through our eye contact. All of this reflects whether we are in something or not. So when we look at this, God came down and confused them. And that is when from Iraq, the nations spread all across the nations, because when whoever, like if Jerusalem was probably pushing the barrow at that time, and then somebody asked him, please drop the cement or the sand, what he would do? He'd punch the guy, because suddenly God confused the languages. And that is where, if anyone wants to know what languages came about, was from that area. That's where we have Arabic and English and German, because everybody began to speak a completely new language. Okay, so when they started to communicate, no one knew what to basically what the other person was saying, and that is why they had to move away. Why? There was confusion. And you know what? The devil likes to cause confusion, but God created this confusion. Why? Because he wanted them to spread out, for them to move away, not to build this tower, because it was not ordained, it was not authorized by God Almighty. So here we find that the power of oneness is what even the world is seeking. Right now we find, what is it that's moving towards? Revelation, world domination, one world order. You find even the currency. When I do work with the bankers, you know what? The bankers, you know, at one stage we look at the smart card, which we thought would never come into existence, but it's there. Now, last week I mentioned to you of the microchip that's implanted in 3,000 people. Not only this, we find that banks or the banking industry has cards that are being instituted. And I spoke to an expert a few weeks ago that is basically all of your information that will be placed into this one chip, that wherever you travel, that chip will consist of everything from your finance to your personal details and everything in this microchip that you will carry in your card. No more will there be paper money, or there'll be coins and so forth. Everything will be in this little card. And obviously, now the trial is in terms of the microchip, and whether it's in our generation or in the generation to come. But this is all in line with what the Bible is actually talking about. And we look at the world again is basically racing to bringing the world into oneness. But my God already has a plan in place. My God has a plan where he also wants the church to be in one. And he wants us to come into that power and into that union where we can be a strong hold, a strong nation that will stand against the wiles of the enemy itself. And you know, when we look at scripture itself and we look at Genesis, the Genesis chapter 2, it says, the power of oneness between the husband and wife. What it says? It is good for a man to leave his mom and dad, his mother and father, and cling to his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. Now, Whenever a husband and wife come together, no matter what is it that you require, if you simply believe in God that you want certain things to happen in your life. Now, who's married here? All the married people? Okay, married. For those that are married in the house, remember, God has placed you with that life partner for a reason. When you, basically, we know 1 + 1 = 2. Very good. But 1 + 1, according to the Bible, is 1. Okay, so what happens? You become one flesh. So when you come together as one flesh, you'll be able to understand and know each other. You'll be able to come together in the power of oneness, that whatever you basically desire in terms of advancing the kingdom of God, you will be able to do it because God has already ordained it in your life as well. So when you come and as you pray, you ask your Father in heaven, what is it that you need to do? How you need to do it? And when you come together as husband and wife in the power of oneness, believing that He can do it, it will and shall be done in your life. Obviously, you find that sometimes God protects you along the way, and sometimes He allows you to go a certain route. Why? To be able to know, to protect you so that you will get the best results in this time frame. Now, the other part is, when you go through it, you have to come into the power of oneness with the Word of God. Okay? There was once in one of the chapters in the book of Samuel, okay, especially 2 Samuel 23 verses 9 and 10, we look at the son of Dodai. Now, I'm still coming. This is just my introduction. You know, the son of Dodai, or Lisiah, the son of Dodai, was one of David's mighty men, right? And when David and his men were fighting the Philistines, all of them fled, just left Dodai all by himself. And what did Dodai do? He continued to fight with the Philistines until he slew more than 300 men. And when they found him later on, he was delirious and the sword simply froze into his hand. Now, as I always mention, that when we read the scripture, the Old Testament, we read it in its context and we make application to the New Testament, and we always refer to Jesus Christ. So what had happened was that this sword, which is representative of what? The Word of God. And we need to basically, like David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. So today, it's not about, you know, those ritualistic things. God is dwelling inside of us. And we need to understand that we need to come into oneness with Him. Because in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And if you continue to read John, he says, as the Father and I are one, so I would want you to be one. So what is this, that God or Jesus Christ has this mindset that He wants to connect with you and I? He wants to bring us to that oneness so that when we are one with Him, we will understand His blueprint. We will understand His plans through His heart. We'll be able to see things through His eyes. We'll begin to feel people through the way He feels. And we'll begin to understand what is it that He has planned for planet Earth itself. So now, when we look at the scripture here, when we look at Solomon, okay? What is Solomon? Solomon was designated to build this, the temple of God, so that the Ark of the Covenant will be brought in there. And once again, the glory of God can descend, and you know that the priest can enter in the Holy of Holies once a year to be able to offer incense unto God and to worship God and to bless Him. And whenever the nation Israel sinned, they can come up there for forgiveness and they'll offer their sacrifices. But right here, when the Ark of the Covenant was brought in and there was a time of the dedication of the temple, when we read in chapter 5 of verse 12 and verse 13, now, in order for us to move ahead in life, you know, if there's, the Bible clearly says, if any two disagree, and if they do not agree, what is it? They cannot walk together. If you and I do not agree on something, what will happen? We will not walk together. You know, there was this race that we used to do when we were in school. It was called three-legged race. How many of you know about the three-legged race? Right? You know, you have to tie both of your partner, you have to tie both your legs together, and you have to run in one direction. And you have to basically synchronize in such a way that both of you run in a way that you would not trip You will not have any problems along the way. And you have to run with speed in order to win the race. So you have to think like one. Now, how many of you have also seen the movie Pacific Rim? I watch movies as well, right? Okay, Pacific Rim. I don't watch too much of it now, okay? But in that, the moral of this, you find that both the pilots that control the robots, their minds become synchronized with each other. Okay, and they get synchronized in such a way that they understand what the other person is doing and so forth. So they become one with each other in terms of their thought patterns and the thought life in order to do what? To beat the enemy. So now when we look at this and we look at, you know, most of the scriptures today must watch. I'm sorry, the movies, you must watch them because they have a lot of new age stuff, kids. And especially if you watch them, don't get too much involved unless if you're strong in the faith, because they're taking a lot of biblical aspects and putting it into movies like Superman. Superman is now the father and so forth. You know, he was 30 years, you know, he came in, I'm just 30 years and then he had this time on earth. You watch the last Superman, okay, because he is like representing Jesus Christ. Go and read the whole review of it and you will see that most of these movies, if you start to look at it in the new age form, can be very devastating if you do not have a strong faith in the word of God. So be careful, kids, especially when you're watching it. Understand first your Bible and understand God. Don't get sucked up to it. And also, I think, just whilst I'm on that, I think three games were taken off in the UAE because at the end of the games, most people have the tendency, or kids have the tendency, to commit suicide and so forth. So there's lots of things that's there in the out in the market that is very juicy, very nice, very tasty, looks very good to the eyes, feels really good, feels right. Even if the best of the best are doing it, don't follow like sheep to be slaughtered, okay? So especially for the kids, know your word, read it now. Like Solomon was 13 years, a man of wisdom, was able to set certain patterns into place. Why? Because he understood God and he understood the wisdom of God. So coming back to this chapter 5, what happened? In order for the glory of God to descend, they had to come. The 120 priests had to come into oneness. In what? Into praise and thanksgiving. Now everything that we do, we must thank God. I know this one pastor who died at a very early age, Pastor Casey Naidu. And whenever you met him, he always had a smile on his face and he would go crazy. Sometimes if he stands in the pastor, they would say, "Hallelujah!" So come on, that must be Casey. Okay, remember? And every time, anything that happens, he will always say, "Thank you, Jesus." Even if it was a bad situation or a good situation, he will always say, "Thank you, Jesus." So what I'm encouraging you today is that when you begin to look at Jesus Christ, he is alive. He's not a fairy tale. We do not come and waste our breath. Pastors do not go from one continent to another continent preaching the word of God for no apparent reason. There is a reason. We are here. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. We are fighting against the kingdom of darkness. And you know what? We are the kingdom of light. We have a reason for our existence. We have a reason for this moment. We have a reason to preach his word. We have a reason to teach his word. And no matter what it is, we must be able to thank him. We need to praise him for who he is and what he is. And when we look at the scripture, what were they singing? Let's go back to the chapter 5. It says, the last part, it says, "For his good, for his mercies endures forever." Now, when we begin to, every day when we get up, we must say, "The Lord is good. The Lord is always steadfast in whatever he does." They came as one. What was happening? They were synchronizing their minds. They were coming together. All of them were thinking as one. Now, remember in the Old Testament, I'm cutting a lot of things short, but when the priest went into the Holy of Holies, okay, and they had a little rope that was tied to his ankle, that if for any reason he had, even if he didn't shave properly, one speck of hair on his body, immediately the Spirit of God would have slain him. And if he had any thought patterns that was not of God, he was killed immediately. And you know, he had bells around his cloak. So every time he walked, those bells would sound. But the moment it stopped, they knew from the outside he was dead. So what they would do, they would pull him out of the Holy of Holies, because nobody could go into the presence of God. How many of you saw yesterday when the SpaceX took off, there was a camera that was very close and it burnt. How many of you saw that? Okay. It showed the impact and the heat of the fire that even though the camera was very far away, it burnt. Now, the similar thing is when we look at the glory of God, we cannot play around with the anointing and the glory of God. That even if you went very close and you had even the slightest thought that was negative or the slightest thought that was against God and all of His precepts, immediately you were destroyed. So you had to be completely, like the song was going, clean hands, pure heart. These men that were appointed for praising God and to do the priestly duties, they had to be 100% pure. So today, because of Jesus Christ, we have grace. But Paul says, should we continue sinning because grace abounds? Certainly not. And most of the time, Christians are taking this, okay, they are taking advantage of this grace that God has given to us. That's a whole new topic altogether. But when we look at this, we need to come as one. And when we look at it, after that, what did Solomon do? He started to give a dedicatory prayer. Now I want to look at Acts. You know the book of Acts? We have A-C-T-S. Now don't look at it. I'm looking at just the word Acts. A for agreement. We must come into agreement if we're going to walk together. We must come to agreement with God. Now, what is an agreement? An agreement is just like enter into a contract. Now, you know for a fact that we've entered into a contract with God. Why? We've signed with the blood of Jesus Christ. If we go into business, we sign a document which says we have rules and regulations that we need to follow. If we default, then it's possible that you can take me to court or we can basically dissolve our relationship. We can dissolve the agreement. Now we've entered into a contract or into agreement with the Most Holy God through the power of Jesus Christ. And as I said, we've signed by the blood of Jesus Christ and we have all been bought by a price. So today when we look at this, he gave a dedicatory prayer. Now A is for agreement. C is for communication. What type of communication? Now we all communicate. There's various words to talk about communication. We can talk about gossip. We can talk about waffling. We can talk about whispering. We can talk about discourse. We call it discussion, debate. These are all things related to communication. But when we look at it, what is the communication that is required in terms of God? It is prayer. And the moment we say Jesus, or even call my name Emmanuel. Okay, not in terms of where it is. That's why I tell off my candidate, I say, call Emmanuel. Because whenever you call Emmanuel, God is right there with you. Not me as a physical, because I will continue to clarify that I'm a Christian and that's what my name means. So when you basically call my name or you call the name Jesus Christ, immediately, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So what is basically happening is that you are in divine presence the moment you call upon the name of Jesus. Now, what is it? You are in one with him. Why? The moment you call upon his name, he is already residing inside of you. Who? The Holy Spirit who represents Jesus Christ. When you call Jesus Christ, who is now seated at the right hand of the Father, intercedes for you and I. And Jesus, the Father sees Jesus Christ whenever you sin or whenever you do something. And because of that, when you call upon his name, we enter into the heavenly realms and we enter into divine presence. Now, you might think, what weird thing are you talking about? But this is reality. If you'd studied the three heavens, we begin to understand what it is in terms of the areas that we are living in. We sometimes cannot see it physically, but we must begin to visualize it through the Spirit of God. And when we begin to come into that oneness with God, we begin to understand, yes, prayer is a communication. Prayer is something where we constantly dedicate our lives. Yeah, they were dedicating the temple of Solomon. But who's the temple of God today? We are the temple of God today. We are his holy beings upon the earth. We are his holy priesthood that has been set apart to be able to do the things upon the earth. Why? For one reason, it's like the prayer came out to snatch those people out of the fire. Now, if you're snatching somebody out of the fire, How close? You have to be near the fire. You have to be very close, right? So I know when we used to do a barbecue back at home, and if a meat has to fall or a chop has to fall into the barbecue, and if you happen to pull it out and the flames were high, your hand, which or your hair on your hand will get singed. Okay, somewhere or the other, or you'll have some burns on your hands. So the thing is, you will be close to the heat. You'll be close to the fire. Okay, whenever you're snatching people out of the fire. So today, our mandate, our call, even as we begin to pray and begin to dedicate ourselves over and over again, our purpose is for what? Is to be able to replenish the hurt. Our whole purpose is to begin to advance the kingdom of God over all the earth. And when we look in chapter 7, it says, so, can you read this? My eyes are... Yes, so chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 1. Okay, I'm going to read it again. Okay, when Solomon had finished praying. Now remember, there will come a time where we complete praying with God. We have to pray in the morning, pray midday, pray all the time. Okay, fire came down. Previously, what was the cloud? Remember now, when you look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is represented through these mediums. Cloud, fire, the dove, all of this has a representation of the Holy Spirit. Now remember, Jesus Christ was on the earth until 33 years. That was His dispensation. In the Old Testament, it was Yahweh, Jehovah, who that was His time where He began to speak to the nation once a year. But then, now, from the time of the book of Acts, we have the Holy Spirit that is resident inside of us, that is leading us and directing us. Now the Holy Spirit, when we look at the Greek word, it's called parakletos. Parakletos means simply the comforter or the one who walks alongside of you. And is also further clarified as the advocate or the attorney. Whenever you get into trouble, He is able to take you out of your situation. Now you will know the power of the Holy Spirit if you come into oneness with Him. Now when we look at this, He says, fire came down from heaven and it consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Now today, who are the living sacrifices? You and me. We are the living sacrifices. This was a type and a symbol of what was to come. So when we read the Old Testament, don't read it, oh, because it's just figures and types and certain things has been put into place. These things significantly refers to whom? To you and I. These are types and symbols of what was to come. And today, we are the living epistles that God has called to be able to do the things in this day and age. So what is it? We need to be set ablaze. We should be on fire for God. So what does fire do? If we light up a little cigarette here, no one's smoking, right? Or if we light up a little matchstick here and we put it onto the carpet, what will happen if you don't extinguish it? It will spread. So today, we must be able to have the fire that will begin to spread no matter where we are. It needs to catch up. It should become like a ball of fire. So when we look at this fire, God is looking for the power of oneness. Now, we're not talking about every one of us should hold our hands and sing Kumbaya together. No, we can be in whichever part of the world, but we can come together in one spirit. And I'm bringing you to that one point where we can come into that one spiritual realm. Because remember, we are not fighting against people. Don't get angry with your neighbor. Don't get angry with your boss. Don't get angry with anyone that's close to you. When you have an issue, go into your closet or wherever you are. Or just turn around or put your head between your knees when you're at the office and begin to pray in other tongues or begin to speak to your master. And I can say to you that when you begin to speak to Him, things begin to happen in the atmosphere. The devil doesn't like a praying Christian. Now I'm saying to you, brother, start praying from tomorrow. I'm not saying that you're not doing it. But begin to add to your prayer life. And when you add to your prayer life, I can assure you, you're not going to get all of the successes immediately. You're going to have battles like you never believe. If anybody tell you everything's going to be hunky-dory and everything's going to be great, everything's going to be fine, you know what happens? The demonic world will begin to set angels or demonic angels to you, or demons will come in every form possible. I can sit here from now till midnight and I will tell you a whole lot of stories that we've had through the past. But you know what? My God is greater than any demon on the planet. My God is greater than any issue. You know what? God has a plan for your life. Like sister spoke about Jonathan. He already had a plan long before the foundations of the earth for Jonathan. He has a plan for every one of you long before the foundations of the earth. All he is asking you is for you to come into that oneness with him. See, God the Father, God the Son. 1 + 1 is, and plus one is, how many? 3. But now we know 1 + 1 + 1 is 1. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is 1. Now, sometimes if you start to dissect that and you start to analyze it, it'll blow your mind. You have to believe it through the power of the Holy Spirit that they all are one and they all exist for us. They all exist for our righteousness. They all exist because of us. And remember, right from the beginning in Genesis, it says, let us make man. It didn't say, God didn't say, let me make man. He said, let us, which means before the foundations of the earth, Jesus Christ was, he is, and he is to come. The Holy Spirit was there because the Holy Spirit was brooding over the waters. Amen. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is still present throughout history, and he's still present. And yeah, representative in the form of fire, he comes and he consumes these sacrifices. Today he wants to consume you with the almighty power and the fire, and he wants to begin to set you ablaze for things to come. And when we look at it, we need to come into agreement with praise. We need to come into agreement with thanksgiving. You know, I'll enter his gates with thanksgiving. We come into his courts with praise. And then I forget the words after that. Okay, but you find that we need to enter his gates with thanksgiving. Now, if you go into the house every day with an angry face, or when you go in with always having problems, what will happen? That mood or that spirit will begin to filter onto the others. But what happens? Whenever you go into the presence of God, enter with thanksgiving. Praise him. You know what? Your body has been designed to praise God. When you lift up your hands, now, let me go a little step further. When you lift up your hands, you know what it is when you lift up your hands? It means you are, you know, when I was once a CID back in the heydays, okay, many years ago, I used to carry a big gun, had a big radio, had lovely cars we used to drive, go crazy, blue lights and so forth. My wife used to go crazy over me. Okay, not in the, she wanted me out, you know. But anyway, when we used to arrest a suspect, what do we say? Hands up! You're under arrest. So the guy, whatever he's carrying,
he'll pick his hands up.
What does it mean? I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. What is it? You are surrendering to the authority that now is arresting you. But what is it? When you raise your hands, how many of you have been to a rock concert? No one? You've been, right? Okay. You went to a rock concert. I'm not encouraging you to go to a rock concert. I'm talking about the past. Okay. But when you go there, what happens in a rock concert? They are lifting their hands. They're becoming one with the singers there. And they're lifting. They are saying, I am surrendering. See, whatever we do, we have a hard drive here. Okay? And this hard drive, whatever you upload here, stays in your subconscious. And you act out automatically as you walk in life itself. So when you go and you listen to this music, you are now becoming one with the singer who is now singing songs that not to my God, but to some satanic world. And what you're doing now, you're raising your hand and your body has been designed to basically showcase certain things that you're doing. So what are you doing? When he's singing a song, you're basically lifting your hands and saying, you know what? I surrender. And your body language, remember 70% of what your body says is basically communicating what you feel and what you are basically saying at the end of the day. So this is what's happening. So when you are here worshiping God, instead of raising your hand to other things, raise it to the Almighty God. Begin to praise him. Begin to give him thanksgiving. Because I believe God is not over with the church. God is not over with you and I. He is here to begin to set free. He is here to begin to do something awesome. Okay? So when we look at C, it's communication. Now when you go back to the book of Acts, And when we look at the book of Acts, what did Jesus Christ say in chapter 1? He says, go and wait. What did he say? Go and wait. What? For the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, if any one of you have not had an experience with the Holy Spirit, I know it's small in number. You begin to desire the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, what is wait? When you look at the word wait, you have to have patience in order to wait. You have to have long suffering in order to wait. And when you wait, he says, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall walk and not go weary. They shall run and not faint. Okay? So when we look at it, when you wait, you need to wait on God, not wait on man. Not wait on this world itself. You need to begin to wait on Him. And what was it doing? God was setting them up for something new. Something that was completely, you know, what He was talking about. You know what He's going to begin to place in them? He says, if I'm not here physically, I'm sending my Spirit that will become one with you. Like when He prayed in the book of John, He says, Father, like you are one, and I am one with you, I want them to be one with me. So He desires for you to be one with Him, so that you will begin to understand His heart and understand and know where you are going to and how to be able to do the things that He's called you to do. So when we look at Acts chapter 1, let's go there pretty quickly, please. Acts chapter 1. Are you with me? Amen. Are you blessed? Hallelujah. Now, Acts chapter 2. Let's go there. Okay. Let's go to verse number 9. No, sorry, from verse number 1. Verse 2. Let's go from chapter 2, verse number 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived. Anyone who would like to read that? Yes, sir.
When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place.
Okay, keep going.
And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting.
Okay, continue.
Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them.
Okay. Yes, thank you. We find that they were in one place and they were in one accord. When we go into the Tower of Babel, where they were in one place and one accord, and they had one language, right? So what happened? This was the worldly system that understood the power of oneness. They understood the power of having one language. They understood that when they came together, they could do great things. You know, they say, united we stand, divided we fall. Right? So, when we look at this now, Jesus Christ had already foreseen that His church would have problems. We will have issues on a day-to-day basis. But He was drawing us to come to that power of oneness. Like when Dodai had the sword in his hand, he never gave it up. That they had to basically, they say it froze into his hand. They had to basically break his fingers. That's how I look at it. In order to release that sword. So today we need the Holy Spirit to basically indwell in us with fire. What is fire significant of? You know, in order to melt gold, okay, or to clean up gold, you have to put gold through fire. And the fire will take off all of the dross, all of the dirt, everything that's not supposed to be in gold will be removed. So today God is doing a refining work through the fire of the Holy Spirit. And when these apostles that were waiting for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the fire descended on them. Now remember, let's look at it. I want you to get this picture. When the ministers in Solomon's time, when the cloud descended, what happened? They could not minister. They wanted to say a word, but they could not say a word. You know what? How many of you have been in the presence of God and you could not even say a word? You know, today we become so flippant in the things that we do. We become so, we move away from, we just say one, two, three, and we don't wait for the fourth anointing. Now, there's no such thing as that. I'm just using a little example. We don't wait for the anointing to begin to consume us so that we begin to sense His glory like never before. He wants to do the same thing right now. And you find that these men, the 120 priests, could not even communicate because the glory was so rich. How many of you have, now I'm not encouraging you to do this. Have you taken medication where you were so drowsy and so like lost? Okay. Now the feeling that you have there is nothing compared to having the glory of God in your life. It's nothing compared to having alcohol. It's nothing compared to taking drugs. This is such a glorious, such a wonderful experience. And I can say to you today, the more you desire of getting into this oneness with God Almighty, there will be something that will happen to you. It will just happen whenever you even least expect it. And I believe that today, that you would come to that oneness. Now, if we looked at husband and wife, we looked at all of these coming into in terms of the priest, but also for those that are unmarried, he says, if any two persons come together and believe touching heaven, I will do it for you. So today, whatever you are desirous of, according to the will of God, according to the advancement of the kingdom of God, you take a person and begin to pray. And I believe that God will do it. And even if you're on your own, as long as you know that you come into the oneness of the Holy Spirit that is resident inside of you, anything that you place your hands or lay your hands to do, you will have success. Now, coming back to the book of Acts, what happened? There was a mighty rushing wind on the day of Pentecost. We just celebrated the day of Pentecost this past week. The mighty rushing wind. The wind also speaks of the Holy Spirit. Now, when the wind comes, you know, it's not talking about this normal wind that we have. There was as though an earthquake. And everybody that was in Jerusalem, remember there were people visiting Jerusalem at that time. And when they begin to hear the sound, and when they begin to feel the earth was shaking itself, they were surprised to see what was going on. God was doing something new. There was a transformation taking place. There was an infilling of His Holy Spirit. And these disciples, when they looked at each other, there was as though tongues of fire. Why does it say tongues of fire? Because fire cleanses. Tongues because of speech. And what happened? The next moment, they begin to get up and they begin to speak in other tongues. Oh, hallelujah. They were speaking not in the normal language. They were speaking another tongue. And I want to urge you today, the first evidence of being filled with the power and the fire of God is the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And you know what happens when you speak in other tongues? Remember, but when we speak normally, the devil knows every language under the book. He is the ancient liar, okay? But when you speak in other tongues, he doesn't know what you're talking about. Because as I told you, you are one with God and you begin to enter into a heavenly realm. You begin to get into the platform of heaven. And as you speak, you are basically standing right there in the presence of God Almighty. And he begins to understand the uttering and the groaning that comes from deep within you. Only he understands that. And when you begin to speak in this other tongues, God begins to do something. You may not understand with your own wisdom. You may not understand with your own intellect. But as you begin to do this and you begin to walk in His presence, and even in the morning when you start up, just speak in other tongues. When you begin to sleep or whenever you during the day, speak in other tongues, you find that the enemy gets confused. There's confusion in the atmosphere. Hey, what's going on with this Christian? What's going on with this crazy man? Hey, you are basically speaking to God with an unknown tongue, and things begin to happen. You know what happened that day? Peter began to step up boldly. He who denied Jesus Christ, he who denied him three times, stood up that day and he says, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even upon my handmaidens will I pour out my spirit. He says, even those who call up my name shall be saved. He talks about the moon turning blood red. He talks about the sun being darkened. These are days that will come forth. But before those days come forth, we need to begin to proclaim the the glory and the anointing of God Almighty. You know, the Holy Spirit is here. He's here for the taking. He's a gentle person. He will not come unto you if you don't ask. He is the Paracletos. He wants to comfort you. He wants to guide you. He wants to be your advocate on your daily walk with Him. But He will never, ever come unto you if you don't ask Him. And what did Jesus Christ say to the disciples in chapter 1? He says, and you will be my witnesses. That witnesses even until death, Matarineo. And He says, you will be my witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem. If you make if you further exegete that, He says, witnesses in Jerusalem, your own neighborhood. What are you doing in your own neighbor? Your own neighbor can be your neighbor who is at your office. Your neighbor can be the one that's where you're living. Jerusalem. Then we look at the next one is Judea. Judea is the next city. Like, for example, Abu Dhabi or the other Emirates. And the next one is Samaria. Samaria is people with a different language completely. And the outermost parts of the earth, wherever God has called you to place your feet to preach His gospel. So today, we all should do the work of an evangelist. Why? Because we have the fire of God inside of us. We have something that is resident inside of us so that we can be able to do that which He has called us. You know, the Holy Spirit has come. And because of time, I don't want to, you know, continue a lot into this. But the Holy Spirit has given us gifts. And you can go home in Corinthians chapter 12. There's a whole 9 gifts that you have the power to be able to access. Now, He gives it to each one of us freely. Now, obviously, you cannot say, now I want to be a healer. He will give it to you as He sees your heart fit to be able to possess it. But you should not despise the other person that basically carries the gift of miracles or the gift of faith. We all have faith. But there are those that have the gift of faith. And then what I want to focus on is Ephesians. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. As I mentioned to you, Corinthians 12 has the gifts. But look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And He gave, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, I want you to look at your hand. You all have 2 beautiful hands, right? Uh-huh. And how many fingers do we have? Today we're doing math, right? Uh-huh. How many fingers we have? 10 or 8? We have 8 fingers, 2 thumbs, right? Now, in the Old Testament, in the old traditional, you know, whenever kings went to battle, and I think I shared this with you, whenever the king lost, the other king would take the one that has been defeated into captivity, and he would chop off his big toes, and he would chop off his thumbs. Now, what was this significant of? It showed that he is now being dethroned. He doesn't have any more authority, and he doesn't have any more face to stand up in society. And even if you don't have your big toe, you will have an imbalance. So he was not balanced in that time, especially if he was defeated. So today, when we look at it, our thumb is very, very important. Now, we have on this side 4 fingers, 1 thumb. Now, you know that the Holy Spirit has come to dwell inside of us. The Holy Spirit has also came to equip the church. The Holy Spirit has also brought us to a place where we become one with Jesus Christ and one with the Father. Now, He's also given the church certain gifts, ascended gifts. I'm not talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 12 where there's gifts for all of the body. But He's given ascended gifts, 5 of them. Now, what's this thumb? The thumb can touch all the other fingers, correct? Now, you know what Muhammad Bali says, right? I cannot hit what I cannot see, right? But by faith, we hit something that we cannot see, right? And he also says, I fly like a butterfly and I sting like a bee. You know that saying of Muhammad Ali, the greatest boxer, right? But today, we have something more powerful that we can take, not into a natural fight, but into the spiritual realm. We're not fighting a physical battle. We are fighting a war that is something that we cannot see. And one of the things is God has given us the 5-fold ministerial giftings that is for the body of Christ. And when we look at it and the power of oneness, each one of us who God has called. I'm not talking about people now that should leave the jobs and suddenly become this. But within the body of Christ, he's equipped us with this five. Now, if you look at your hands, when you close your fingers, what happens is it forms a fist, right? Now, if I slap somebody, it's not as powerful as a punch, right? It's more effective. Now, when we look at this, look at your four fingers and your thumb. We look at the apostle. The apostle simply means a messenger. One who is sent out with a message of good news. One who has to proclaim. And we only look at the apostles when we look at the 12 that was appointed by Jesus Christ. One fell away and they appointed a new one. But the apostles are also looked at setting up authoritative or governmental rules within the church. So he's the one that can basically touch all of the ministries. Now this baby finger cannot touch unless you force it. But this can easily touch. That's the apostle. The thumb. Then we look at this. Especially some of the wives keep doing this to the husbands. Okay? Okay. Okay. Don't do this. You come late. I'll sort you. What is this? This is the pointer finger, which talks about the prophet. The prophet is not a soothsayer. Now, we have lots of soothsayers in the church. You must be able to identify them. But we talk about a prophet who speaks on behalf of God. And when he speaks, it must corroborate the word of God. So when you hear the prophet, go back and look at it, whether it is in corroborating the word of God. If it's not, then that prophet, you have to be wary of him. And if the word that comes out of the prophet, if it is false and if it never comes to pass, then he's got a problem with where he is and what he is doing. So this is the pointed finger. Basically, it gives direction to the church. Then watch your fingers. Which is the longest? Which is the longest finger? The middle finger, right? This speaks about the evangelist. The evangelist spreads the good news. Now, Timothy was a deacon. And what did Paul say? Go and do the work of an evangelist. So every one of us, say, remember now. It doesn't mean to say now you are suddenly fit the office of an evangelist. Many people misconstrue what is happening within the word of God. It doesn't mean to say, now I'm the CEO of the company, I'm the apostle. You know, the time when we had the apostles, everybody wanted to be a father to another person. I don't believe in all of that. Okay? Because God, Jesus Christ said, there's no father except him. But the apostle, they misconstrued the word. They should have used the word mentor rather than father. Okay? But when we look at it, the evangelist, we all are called within this body of Christ in order to bring it into oneness to God and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the evangelist, that's the longest one, the extension of the church. So there are those that fit. Who was this that died recently at a very, Billy Graham, right? When he used to speak, thousands and sometimes millions will come up to Jesus Christ just with simple messages. He was called into the office of an evangelist. He didn't go now and proclaim, I'm an apostle. No, he was an evangelist called by God. So every one of us, we need to do the work of an evangelist. Then we have, what is this called? The ring finger. You know, when you're married, the Russians use it on the right. The Western world uses it on the left. This is the ring finger, which means you are the pastor. Okay, the pastor is married to the church. The pastor is one who basically is the shepherd, who leads the flock. And that is why I keep saying, don't call me pastor. I'm not a pastor because I'm not a shepherd. Because people use these titles, okay, out of affection and out of respect, which I don't have a problem with it. Got it? If you call me pastor, no, it's out of respect because to understand the people within the church itself. But this is simply married to the church and he shepherds the church. Okay? Then the last one is the baby finger. The baby finger is basically speaking of one who is apt to teach. The teacher who knows the word, who studies the word, and is able to teach the body of Christ. So what is it? When we come together, one fist, and when this, all of us, when we understand what is our function, that which the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples. Yes, we will have problems. Like Paul had problems with some of the, Silas? was one of them. He had problems and he didn't want to see him, but later he called him into under his wing. So when we look at it, we all have issues every day, but we should not look at these issues as problems. We should begin to look at them as challenges. And what is God ordained for a time such as this, as where we need to move? We have everything inside of us. We have the fivefold ministerial gifts that is given that can bring about the power of oneness. We have the oneness of the Holy Spirit that is resident inside of us. All he wants to do today, he wants to fill you up again. Remember when those disciples walked out of that upper room that day, you know, when they came out, what did the men look at them and say? What did they say? They said that these men seem as though they are drunk. And as though they had drunk a new wine. You know what? The Holy Spirit, when he comes upon you, not only will he fill you up with fire, but he will give you a new wine to drink. And when you are, again, when you drink wine, what happens? Your mind becomes dull and you begin to do things that you have never done before. You would drive at a higher speed and you think you're driving at 80 kilometers, but you're driving at 150, 170 kilometers, right? And yet we find that when you are under the influence of alcohol, like wine, your mind has been changed. But when the new wine comes, and that is why when they looked at them, they seemed as though they were drunk. They were not in the normal senses. Like the 120 priests in the Old Testament, they could not speak. But yet, these men began to speak a new language because of the new wine that was filled inside of them. Because of the, they were ready, they were waiting, and they were said, God, fill me up with this new wine. God, I want this paracletos. I want something. So today, even as we almost out of time, I want you to desire this wine in your life. I want you to desire it, even if you do not speak in other tongues. Desire it. God will begin to, even if you're, you know, alone at home, and if you've never spoken in other tongues, I can assure you that when you're alone at home, God will begin to fill you like never before. Just be desirous. Say, Lord, I want this new wine. Lord, I want this fire. Lord, I want you to fill me up. I want to begin to understand you. I want to know you. I want to come into this oneness. And I strongly believe, like the power of oneness, not only with your husband and wife, not in one person who you agree with, but come into oneness with the church of God. And I can assure you that even if somebody is probably crossing the road back in South Africa and you have a thought of that person, don't say, oh my God, and forget about it. No, just begin to open your mouth and just begin to pray in other tongues. You know what will happen? God begins to send his angels. God begins to send his Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when you get up and sometimes you think about somebody, you know what? God has put you that thought in your mind. Begin to pray in other tongues, because what happens? You begin to send forth this word which you cannot even see, you cannot feel, but it is beginning to send forth into the atmosphere, and wherever there is an issue, the power of oneness, because you're connected with the Holy Spirit and you're connected with God Almighty, it begins to change that atmosphere. Hallelujah. Right there in Africa. You know what? You don't need teleporting. You don't need all this hyperloop and so forth. Remember, if you only understand the dynamics of the kingdom of God, man, it will blow your mind away. If you just sit for a moment and just think, oh my God, God has actually placed these gifts in my hand to be able to possess and to do great things. Every one of us will be superheroes. You know what? I'm a Superman. You know, they say Superman, we're all superheroes in a way. Why? Because Jesus Christ is my greatest superhero. He is my Superman. Why? We have powers that we even don't know how to use them. But the Holy Spirit will begin to usher in something inside of us in this new dispensation. Only if we come together as a body of believers and say, you know what? We want this new wine. We want this new fire. We want those things that the Acts of the Apostles began to understand in those days to be able to manifest right now. And when we look at Acts, Acts is agreement. C is simply communication. Then what we have? T is tell somebody. Tell the world. Like going from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other parts of the earth. And S, it's the dispensation of the Spirit of God, which has given us gifts. He's given us speaking in other tongues. He's given us all of the ascended gifts. And he's given us the power that's inside of us.